Today's daf is Beis Daf Chof Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shlema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Meshaba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, and Henna Perel bas Yoichevet. So we're continuing to discuss halacha is related to Hilchas Yontif. And as we've been doing throughout the Masechta, we're continuing to discuss different machloikas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in Hilchas Yontif. So as a brief introduction to today's daf, the Mishnah says in the first parak of Masechta Megillah, it's one of the themes of Masechta Beyah, Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif, Elo Meleches Oichel Nefesh Bulvat. You're not allowed to do Melacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Melacha on Yontif. However, there's a huge difference between the Issa Melacha on Shabbos and the Issa Melacha on Yontif. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Melacha, which means Lamites Melachis. On Yontif, you're not allowed to do Lamites Melachis. However, if the Melacha that you're doing is something that's necessary in the preparation of food, it's a Meleches Oichel Nefesh, then the halacha is, you're allowed to do it on Yontif. The Makar is a pasuk in the Torah. It says in Parshas Boy, in the context of the Yontif of Pesach, that although you're not allowed to do malacha on Pesach, however, asher yeyochel l'chol nefesh, any malacha that's necessary for oichol nefesh, hu levado yeyosel lechem, that type of malacha you'd be allowed to do on Yontif. We mentioned the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah and Parshas Emor, who says that if you look carefully, every time it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, it says you can't do malacha. But when the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif, it says you can't do maleches avoida. Kol maleches avoida loisasu. Says the Ramban, what's the difference between malacha and maleches avoida? Malacha means all malachas. Maleches avoida means malachas that involve work, malachis that are done outside of the kitchen. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malachis oichel nefesh. That's why whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha, the Torah says you're not allowed to do a malachis avoida. On Shabbos, you can't do work in the kitchen either. Therefore, on Shabbos, loisasa kol malacha, you're not allowed to do any malacha. The Gemara Masechtas Ksubas, Dav Zayin Amid Aleph, Perik Besula Nises, prime real estate, brings and discusses this halacha of Meleches Oichel Nefesh that's mutter to be done on Yontif. And the Gemara mentions a very important caveat. And this is something that's going to be a theme in today's daf. And it's something that's really very, very negay when you learn Hilchas Yontif. And that is that although it's true, you're allowed to do Meleches Oichel Nefesh on Yontif. However, says the Gemara, the only time you're allowed to do such Melacha is if it's, quote, a dover hashava l'chol nefesh. So if the malacha that you're doing is something that's shava l'chol nefesh, all people, or maybe most people, or many, maybe many, many, many people would consider oichol nefesh, they would consider this a valuable malacha, something that they would have benefit from, it's then that you're allowed to do malacha on Yontif. However, if the malacha is a quote-unquote not malacha hashava l'chol nefesh, even if it's a maleches oichol nefesh, the halacha is you would not be able to do it on Yontif. Now, this idea of the only time you're allowed to do maleches oichol nefesh on Yontif is if it's shava l'chol nefesh is something that launched over the years great debates in terms of contemporary shaylas, taking a shower on Yontif. If showering is considered a dover hashava l'chol nefesh, then in theory, you'd be allowed to take a shower on Yontif. If it's not a dover hashava l'chol nefesh, you would not be able to take a shower on Yontif. Tosfos on Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis in Masechtas Beis says very clearly that back in the day, taking a shower every day was not considered shava l'chol nefesh. People would wash their hands and their feet every day, but they wouldn't shower. As a result, it was considered a dover she'ene shava l'chol nefesh. You're not allowed to do it on Yontif. Today, is it different? That's a big shayla. Smoking. Once upon a time, it was recognized universally as being a dover hashava l'chol nefesh. Rav Moshe in his famous tshuva, and Igros Moshe says, it's something that hundreds of millions of people do. Based on that, you would think it meets the criteria of being a dover hashava l'chol nefesh. Maybe today it's different. But regardless, the only time you're allowed to do a maleches oichol nefesh on Yontif is if it's a dover hashava l'chol nefesh. So with that little bit of a background, zok de mishnah. Afu amash shleish dvarim l'hakel. So the previous mishnah mentioned the Tana Rabbi Gamliel, who had taken upon three chumras of Beis Shammai. So even though Shitas Beis Shammai, when they argued with Beis Hillel, was almost considered a non-existent shita. The Gemara says, "Beshamay b'makom beisilo ain't a mishnah." It's almost like it doesn't even rank. But Rabbi Gamliel's family had three chumras in Hilchas Yontif that they had taken upon themselves in accordance with the shita of Beshamay. So the Mishnah is going to mention three kulois that the family of Rabbi Gamliel had taken upon themselves. So Afhu Amar Shloisha Dvarim Lahagel. There were three kulas that Rabbi Gamliel said. Number one, Mechabdin Beis Hamitos. You're allowed to sweep the floor on Yontif. Umanichin es hamukmar be Yontif. You're allowed to take, Rashi says, mukmar is levina, frankincense. You're allowed to take things that smell good, keteris of some sorts, put it on top of burning coals to create a very good fragrance, a good aroma, biyantiv. Va'oisin gedima kulas b'leilei psachim. Additionally, you're allowed to roast a gedi b'leil pesach if it's mekulas. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. The Chachamim said that all three of these things are really asr. So there were three kulas that Rabbi Gamliel had taken on keneged the Chachamim. All three of them unrelated to each other. The first is, Rabbi Gamliel's family held that you're allowed to sweep the floor on Yontif. Now, why would you think that you're not allowed to sweep the floor on Yontif? The Chachamim said that it's Aser. So Rashi says the reason is because of a gzeira that you may come lashvuye gumois. So back in the day, people lived in houses that didn't have proper floors. As a result, there were always ditches in the floor. And if you're going to fill a ditch on Shabbos, you could do a malacha. So that's a malacha that'd be very hard for one to violate today. But once upon a time, it was very shchiach. And as a result, Chazal didn't want you doing things too close to the floor because of a gzeira that you may come to smoothen out the floor. Therefore, the Chachamim said, don't even sweep the floor, because you may see a little hole and you're going to fill it up. Ashviye gumois is a malacha. Rabbi Gamliel was mekel, and they used to be mechabdin beis hamitos. Umanichen es hamugmer biyantif. What would be the iser to take keteiris and put it on top of burning coals on yantif? That's easy. You're creating fire. So that's something you can certainly hear would be a problem. And as it relates to the gedim mekulos, b'leil pesach, that the Gemara is going to already discuss. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, as it relates to the second kula of Rabbi Gamliel, umanichen es hamugmer biyantif, said Rav Asi, this machloik is between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Chachamim said, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. Rabbi Gamliel said, you're allowed to do it on Yontif. It was only legamer. If the purpose of creating this good smell is for clothing. So people wanted their clothing to smell good. So before there was cologne, there was mugmar. They would take burning coals, pour this mugmar on top of it. All of a sudden, some real geschmack of smell would come out, whatever the frankincense smelled like. That's what the room suddenly smelled like. They would take their clothing, put it on top of it, and now suddenly the clothing are going to take on this very good smell. So Rav Asi said, the machloik is between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether this is something you're allowed to do on Yontif. This was only negeya, doing it for your clothing. Avad hariach. But if you're doing it because you want to smell good, or you're doing it because you want to enjoy the aroma of the smell, divrei hakol mutter, everybody would agree it's mutter. Meis, v'frei the Gemara, kasha from a brais. The Chachamim hold that you're not allowed to sweep the floor on Yontif. The family of Rabbi Gamliel, they used to do it. Amr Rabbi Yezbrat Tzadik, so Lazbrat Tzadik said, Pavim Harbin Chasi Achar, Abba, the base of Rabbi Gamliel. There were many times I followed my father. Rabbi Lazbrat Tzadik's father was the Tanner of Tzadik. So he said, there were many times that I went together with my father to Rabbi Gamliel's house. They did not sweep the floor on Yontif. Ella, what did they do? Mechab denoisim erev Yontif. They would sweep the floor erev Yontif. And then when they would sit down and eat, upersonale and sadinim, they would spread out a sheet and they would eat on top of the sheet. Lamacha, the next day, kusha'archan lichnasin, when guests came and they wanted to clean up the area, mesalkin sadinim, they would remove the sheets. They had like disposable plastics. Venimtsa bayis mischabit mi'elav, and it would come out that the house was clean on its own. So Rabbi Lezbrat Tzadik said that I know there's this rumor that Rabbi Gamliel's family, they used to sweep the floors on Yontif. It's not true. I was in Rabbi Gamliel's house. I remember going with my father when I was a young boy. And I remember seeing clearly that they had these disposable plastics. They would eat on top of these plastics. And then when it was time to remove it, they would remove it. But they never swept. They didn't have to sweep because they had these sadinim that were on the floor. So they told Rabbi Lezbrat Tzadik, it can't be. Because I'm Cain, if that's the case, this is something you'd be even allowed to do on Shabbos. And we have a Messiah, the Rabbi Gamliel's minig was in contradiction to the Chachamim Shita. Chachamim held that whatever Rabbi Gamliel was doing, you can't do on Yontif, Kavach Chaymer, you can't do it on Shabbos. And what you're describing, the Chachamim would have had no problem with. They would have allowed you to do it on Shabbos, let alone on Yontif. So Rabbi Lezbar Tzadik says, this is what I saw Rabbi Gamliel's family do. Can't be, says the Gemara. Because we have a Messiah, Rabbi Gamliel argued with the Chachamim, the Kula, in three instances. This was one of them. And if this was what Rabbi Gamliel did, the way you described it, why would the Chacham have a problem? Again, even on Shabbos, they wouldn't have had a problem. Additionally, the opinion that you're not allowed to take mugmer, you can't take this levoina, this keteris, put it on top of coals on Yontif, but the Gamliel's family, they used to do it. Amr Blesbat Tzadik, Blesbat Tzadik said again, it's not what I witnessed. By the way, not just one time. Many times, he says, I went with my father, the base Rabbi Gamliel, to the family, to the house Rabbi Gamliel. And that's not what they did. They didn't put mugmer on Yontif. This is interesting. They would bring these metal containers, and they would smoke it before Yontif. And then they would plug the holes very, very tightly. So the aroma was contained very, very strongly inside these Adar Sekois. The Machar on Yontif, when guests would come, they would open up the holes, the Nimtza Bayis Meskamim Me'elov, and then this aroma would permeate through the house. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik said, they didn't actually create the smell on Yontif. They created it on Erev Yontif. They contained it. They had this patent, how they were able to do it. And then they would open it up, unleash it on Yontif. Amar Lo said, they told them the same thing. Kim Kain, if this is what it is, why would the Chachamim have had a problem with it? After Shabbos, what the last is game? This is something you could even do on Shabbos. So again, why is this a point of contention between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim? Chachamim said, no. Rabbi Gamliel said, yeah. If this is really what happened, then it wouldn't have been a problem. Either way, the Gemara just brought a braise, so that mentioned Rabbi Eliezer Bat Tzadik's own testimony, what he remembers as a child, going with his father, Rabbi Tzadik, Rabbi Gamliel's family, as it relates to two of the three kulas that the Mishnah mentioned about Rabbi Gamliel. But we mentioned this for one point. We started the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi said, Machloikis Ligamer, the whole Machloikis, Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether you're allowed to make Mugmar on Yontif or not, that's if the purpose of creating this Keteris is for your clothing. If, however, you're doing it lahariach, because you want to smell it, then everybody agrees it's mutter. The Gemara asked the kasha. What was the kasha? One point. The meisve is, because you see that Rabbi Gamliel's family, when they had guests, the way Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik reported, they would open up these things so that everybody should enjoy the smell. So it sounds like Rabbi Gamliel wasn't doing it for clothing. He was doing it for the Olam to enjoy. When the Archim would come, and all of a sudden the house would smell good. So what do you see the purpose was? The purpose of it was for the Olam to enjoy it. Not like Rav Asi. Rav Asi said that if the purpose was for the Olam to enjoy it, everybody would agree it's mutter. What's the machloikis? Well, you're doing it for your clothing. The Chachamim said, no. Rabbi Gamliel said, yeah. But you see clearly from the story not that way, because you see that Rabbi Gamliel's minig, which was this controversial minig, was being done specifically for the Archim. Well, for the Archim, when they come in, so their clothing should smell good. No, so v'hariach ben. So they should enjoy it. So because of this, the Gemara says, Ela'i itmar, hachi itmar. Must be that our tradition of what Rav Asi said is incorrect. Rather, Omer Rav Asi said, Machloikis lohariach, Machloikis was dafka as it relates to smelling. Ava legamer, as it relates to making your clothing smell good. Divriyak kol aser, everybody would agree, it's also. So Rav Asi said, the Machloikis, Rabbi Gamliel Nechachamim was regarding lohariach. The Olam wants to enjoy something that smells good on Yontif. Could you do it or could you not do it? That was the point of contention between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. But as it relates to doing it for your clothing, this is something that everybody would agree is aser, is not going to be okay. Now, what's the difference? You're taking keteris, you're putting it on burning coals. You're burning something. You're cooking something. You're lighting something afire. There's a nafkamina. If you're doing it lohariach or legamer, it matters if you're doing it because you want to enjoy the smell that's going to come from this, or you're doing it because your clothing are suddenly going to smell good. What difference does it make? First, Rav Asi said the machloikis is dafka if you're doing it for your clothing. Then Rav Asi said the machloikis is dafka if you're doing it lohariach, dafka not doing it for your clothing. What's the nekudas hashayla? What is this whole sugya pivoting on? So Rashi says what it's pivoting on is, it's understood that doing this is technically a malacha that you should be able to do on Yontif. Why? Because on Yontif, you're allowed to light a fire. Because lighting a fire is a melechas oichel nefesh. Melechas oichel nefesh is something that you're allowed to do on Yontif. Now, we paskin like Bissel, if you're allowed to do a melacha, letzayrach oichel nefesh, you could also do that melacha, shaloi letzayrach oichel nefesh. As long as it's letzayrach. But as long as you're doing it for a tzayrach, you could do it shaloi letzayrach oichel nefesh. That's why you're allowed to carry your machzer on Yontif. Why are you allowed to carry your machzer? It says one of the lamatas melachas. But being that you're allowed to carry food, mitoch shehutra haitzah for carrying food, hutra haitzah for carrying something that's not food, albeit if it's some sort of tzarech. However, the only time you're allowed to do even a melechas eichel nefesh is if it's a dover hashavah lechel nefesh. So that was the shayla. The shayla was taking this ketores, lighting it up, and now enjoying the smell. Is it shavah lechel nefesh? Or is it not shavah l'chol nefesh? Doing it for the purpose of your clothing, is it shavah l'chol nefesh or is it not shavah l'chol nefesh? So the maskana sagemara says, Rav Asi, if you're doing it for your clothing, everybody agrees it's aser. Why? Because even though havara, lighting a fire, is something that usually you're allowed to do on yontif, it's a melechas l'chol nefesh. And if you're allowed to do it for l'chol nefesh, you should be able to do it even for your clothing, which is not a melechas l'chol nefesh. However, it has to be a davar shavah l'chol nefesh. And making your clothing smell good is not a davar shavah l'chol nefesh. Not something that everybody did. The Feinschmeckers did it, but that's not something that everybody did. What was the machloikas, Rabbi Gamliel, the Chacham, as it relates to Lahariach? The machloikas was, is that a dovra shavah l'chol nefesh? Rabbi Gamliel held that to walk into a house and it should smell good, you're sitting around and you bring out this whole situation and now all of a sudden there's this great aroma and fragrance that's permeating the room, that's a dovra shavah l'chol nefesh. If it's a dovra shavah l'chol nefesh, Rabbi Gamliel held, you're allowed to do it. Chacham held awesome because they held that it's not a dovra shavah l'chol nefesh. Says the more, Iboilo, Ma'ula Ashin. So this is a third example of why people sometimes would smoke things. Take levoina and create a smoke. They would do it to smoke, Rashi says, peiros, food. So are you allowed to be ma'ashen peiros, or you're not allowed to be ma'ashen peiros? So again, apparently, people would take ketores, besamim of some sorts, they would put it on top of the fire, smoke would come out, the smoke had in it the smell of the besamim, it would go into the fruit. So when you ate the fruit, it didn't just taste like a fruit, but it also had in it some of this taste of the besamim. So is this something you're allowed to do on Yontif, or is that something you're not allowed to do on Yontif? Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav Aser, v'Shmuel Amar Muter. Rav Huna said Aser. Why is it Aser in Nation Mechaba? He said because the melacha that you're doing is Mechaba. He said that when you take the besamim and you put it on top of the burning coals, you can extinguish some of the coals. So the reason you're not allowed to do it is mechaba. Extinguishing is one of the lametes malachas. I'm Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman told Rav Huna, "Menema marmer b'nei shemaver." Why are you saying you mechaba? Say you maver. You're lighting fire. The besamim that you're putting in is going to be lit up. Amalei. So he told him, "Chilas mechaba v'seif maver." When you put the spices on top of the fire, first you extinguish and then you light up. Meaning before the thing that you put down gets burnt, you first extinguish some of the coals that are there. So therefore, I mention mechaba because that's the one that comes first. Amar Rav Yudah said, "Agabi gachal is aser. Put it on top of coals is going to be aser. Agabi cheres muter. However, to put it on top of a very, very hot earthenware keli, that's something that's going to be muter. So if you take a cheres, piece of earthenware, you heat it up, and you put the spices on it, it creates a similar concept. That's something that's going to be muter. And the reason is because there's no extinguishing. There is no kiboy happening because there's no real fire. So because there's no real fire, there's no coals. When you have coals, and then you put something on top of the coals, if you extinguish some of the coals, so you were just mechaba. But over here, there's no mechaba. As a result, it's not going to be an issue. What about havara? So Rashi asks, why is there no havara problem? Rashi says a whole teretz. Top line of Rashi. Rabba said, al-kabi kicheres nami yasa. Even to put it on top of earthenware is also a problem. Why? Mishum de kamoy ledrecha. Because you're creating smell. And creating is something that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Why not? Rashi, three lines from the top. Shehamoy ledavar chadash. If someone creates a new thing on Yontif, karuf hu lo'isa melacha chadasha. It's very similar to doing a melacha, and as a result, it's going to be a problem. So Rabbi said, I agree. If you would take these besamim, these ketores, and you would put it on top of just a hot piece of kli cheres, you're not being mechab anything. There's no coals that you're extinguishing. It's not maver. Why? Rashi explains. But at the same time, there is an issue. You're being moiled recha. You're creating a smell. And creating something is actually an issue. Rabbi Barab Yosef, the majority of Rabbi Yosef both said, on this note, schufei kasa ashiroi b'yemetava asar, to take a cup that has psalmim in it, that smells very good, and to put it invert it and put it on top of clothing to make the clothing smell good is awesome. My time, what's the reason? Because you're creating smell. The clothing didn't smell, and now all of a sudden it smells. So you're creating a smell. You're not allowed to create smell. Why is it different? So this is referring to a certain type of woods that smell good. So there's certain wood chips that have a good smell. And what people would do is they would take the wood and they would be moil it. They would rub it. And by rubbing it, they created the smell to intensify a little bit. Or they would be kaitim it. Kaitim, like niktam haluv, niktam ahadas. They would clip the top, and if the top of it gets clipped, the smell would come out a little bit better. This is something you're allowed to do on yantav. What's the difference? So the Gemara says a technical difference. Hasam over the recham yo'isa. Here the smell is already in the wood. By you rubbing it or by you clipping it, you're just intensifying the smell a little bit. That's not considered creating something. That's not considered moilud. Over here, ayulude hadaka moilud recha. Over here, you're actually creating the smell. I mean that you're creating the smell. You had a smell that didn't exist. You put the besamim on top of the hot cheres. That created a smell that wasn't here before. So I mean that you're creating something. Therefore, it's going to be a problem. But the bottom line is, what comes out from everything that we're saying is that to go ahead and start smoking peiris on yontif is very controversial. It's not something that you necessarily allowed to do. To put it even on top of a cheres is something that you might not be able to do. Rava, Amar Rava said, "Al-Kabbi Chelis Nami Motor." Rava said, "I don't know what you're talking about. Everything we just mentioned is motor. Why? Midadavi Abisra Gumri. You're allowed to cook. If you're allowed to cook, why can't you smoke a fruit? I don't understand. You're allowed to cook. You can literally sit in your kitchen the whole day on yontif and prepare food. So punk, this is something that you're not allowed to do. Now, what would the Chachamim respond? What would the Rabbanan answer? You're allowed to cook. Why? Because that's melechas oichel nefesh. That's a dover hashavah l'chol nefesh. Like the Gemara says in Ksubas, Dav Zayin Amid Aleph. However, to go ahead and smoke fruit and to start creating all these fragrances, even though it seemed like a lower level type of melacha, but it's not shava l'chol nefesh. And if it's not shava l'chol nefesh, therefore it's going to be a problem. And that's really what this whole sugya is hinging on. If the melacha is not shava l'chol nefesh, I don't care that it seems to contradict Hilchas Yontif. The only time you're allowed to do a malacha on yontif is if it's a malacha shavah l'chol nefesh, and that's what's being discussed over here in our Gemara. So more on this note. Darish Rab Gevia mi Beit Ksil, apischa de Beit Reish Kedusas. Rab Gevia, who came from Ksil, he once gave a drasha, and the drasha that he gave was at the doorstep of the Reish Kedusa. And he said, quote, Keturah Shari. That was what he said. And the Ayin was listening to this drasha, and they had no idea what Rab Gevia meant when he said the word Keturah. He said, Keturah, what does it mean? And they had two tzadim what it meant. One tzad they meant thought was that the keturah maybe means not a kesher. Tests and shin sometimes interchange. So they thought the word keturah is from the word kesher. And he was trying to say that if you have knotted clothing, you're allowed to press it. Like you're allowed to iron clothing. That's what they thought maybe he meant. They had another tzad that maybe keturah was miloshin keturis. And what he was trying to say was, is that you're allowed to go and you're allowed to smoke food on yontif. They had a suffix what he meant. So again, Rabbi Gevia gives a drasha. He says, Keturah Shari, but he didn't explain what the word Keturah means. Amalei HaMeimer. So HaMeimer told Rabbi Gevia, he said, my Keturah, what do you mean when you said Keturah? I Keturah bidei biyadi. Do you mean to say that you're allowed to press knotted clothing? My Omeno. How can you do that on yontif? That's like a real malacha. V'ilashin, do you mean to smoke food? Aser, it's aser. Darkam Echava, because when you smoke food, what you do is you take coals, you pour besamim on top of the coals, and the besamim extinguish some of the coals, so you're being mechaba. Ah, you'll tell me it's melechas leichel nefesh. It's not a dover hashavah leichel nefesh. Based on that, it should be a problem. Amalei Ravashi's. Ravashi was there, and Ravashi said, lo'olam la'ashem. What he meant was la'ashem, and midadavi abasir gimra. He held that it's a melechas leichel nefesh, and he held it was shavah leichel nefesh. If you're allowed to cook food, you're allowed to smoke food, and therefore it's going to be muta. Ikad Amri, some say, only Amemar. Amemar said, my keturah. What does keturah mean? Ikaturah, but it doesn't mean keturah with clothing, maisa omenu. And ila'ashem doesn't mean to smoke it, asir. Why? He said the kamoilid recha, meaning he thought it should be asir, because you're being moilid recha, you're creating a reyach, and based on that, it should be a problem. So what's the difference between the two lashonos in the Gemara, right? There's always a difference. Sometimes it's more subtle. In the first lishna, Amemar was saying that if he meant la'ashin to smoke food, it should be a problem because of mechabe. Here he said if he meant to smoke food, it should be a problem because you're creating a smell. What's the nafkamina? If you're using the hat klicheres. If it's because of mechaba, there's no mechaba. If it's because you're creating the smell, it would be a problem there. Also, either way, Amr Ravashi said, I know Amrita Nale. Vashi said, let me answer the question. I'm the one who told this Zvara to Rabbi Kavir. Umishmei de Gavir Rabbo. Amita Nahale. I told it to him in the name of a Gavir Rabbo. And what I said when I said Keturah was La'ilam La'ashin, I meant smoking food. And the reason it's mutter is Mita Dhavi Abbas Bisra Gumri. At the end of the day, you're allowed to cook food. This is something you're allowed to do as well. We look at this as being a Dover Hashava L'chol Nefesh. So going back to the Mishnah mentioned three kulas of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's family, they used to sweep the floor. They weren't worried about Ashfuya Gumais. Rabbi Gamliel's family, they used to take Mugmar and create the smell on Yantif. They held it was a Dover Hashava L'chol Nefesh. Maskana only L'hariach. But the point is, that's something they used to do. The third thing was, below Pesach, they would make the Gidi. They would take a Tzig, a goat, and they would roast it, and the gedi was a gedi makulos. Chama Moisrim, the Chama said that you're not allowed to do it. So what is a gedi makulos? So the Gemara Masech, the Pesachim discusses it. One pshat, a gedi makulos is, they would take the insides of the gedi, and they would roast it with the insides next to the actual animal. And the reason the Chachamim had a problem with this is because the Chachamim held, that's the way they used to roast the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach had to be roasted in a very specific way, and that was the way they used to roast the Karban Pesach. And it looks a little bit like you're roasting the Karban Pesach. Now it's low Pesach, and it looks like you're roasting the Karban Pesach. How could you do that? Now, if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in Yerushalayim, that's what you're supposed to do. But this is after the Churban. You can't be roasting a Karban Pesach after the Churban. That's Kachim Bachutz. That's something you're not allowed to do, right? You're not allowed to bring a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. So even though these were not really carbonos, but it looked a little bit like the Yidden were bringing a carbon Pesach, and you're bringing a carbon Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, this is not something you're allowed to do. And therefore, the Chachamim had a problem with it. Rabbi Gamliel didn't care. Rabbi Gamliel said, no, I don't think it's an issue. Chachamim were mad. Zok Mar Tanya. Rabbi Yossi said, Tudus ish roimi, hinei es b'nei roimi. Tudus was a very great Jewish leader who lived in Rome. And he had established the following custom in Rome. Lecho gedi makulos b'leilei Pesachim. That b'leil Pesach, you should eat a gedi, that's what the Karban Pesach was, and it should be roasted in a makulos way, the same way they used to roast the Karban Pesach. He felt this was a good zeicha for the Karban Pesach. Sholchulei, so the Yidden sent a message to Tudus. They said, quote, il mole Tudus ata, were it not for the fact that you were Tudus. What do you mean, if not for the fact that you were Tudus? Rashi, chacham gadol v'nichbad. Were it not for the fact that you're such a great person, goizrani alecha nidui, we'd put you in chere. Shata machal es b'nei Yisrael, kachem b'chutz. Because you're causing the Yidden to eat kachem b'chutz. Freak, the Gemara, kachem zol g'naitach. Doesn't say that Tudus told them to eat an actual Karban Pesach. They didn't say this should have Kedushas Karban Pesach and then eat it. It looks a little bit like you're eating kachem b'chutz. And therefore, he said, were it not for the fact that you were Tudus, anybody else would have been in Cherem. We're going to look away. We're going to give you a pass because you're a great man. Zok the Mishnah Vaita. So we mentioned a Mishnah that discussed three chumras that Rabbi Gamliel had taken upon like Bishamai. Three kulois, another Mishnah, that Rabbi Gamliel went connected to Chachamim. So on that note, so the Mishnah, Shloisha Dvarim, Rabbi Lozman Azayim, Matav Chachamim, there were three things that Rabbi Lozman Azayim was makel connected to Chachamim. Number one, Parasoi, Yoitza, Biritzua, Shebein Karnel. Rabbi Lozman Azayim's para, his cow, went out on Shabbos with a Ritzua, with a leather strap between her horns. Number two, umikardenas a behema b'yantif. Elaz ben Azariah would comb a behema on yantif. V'shoichakin es apilpul b'reichayim. Additionally, he would take peppercorn and he would grind it in this special grinder on yantif. Rabbi Yehuda said, ein mekardenas a behema b'yantif. You're not allowed to comb the animal on yantif. Neisha oisach abura. Because by combing it, you may inevitably cause it to have a wound. Av mekartzefin. But if you want to be mekartzef, that's something you're allowed to do. V'chomer, the chachomer said, ein mekarden. You're not allowed to be mekared. Av loy mekartzefim. You're not allowed to be mekartzef either. We'll see what these things mean in the Gemara. So, three kulois that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went kineged the chachomer. Number one, that's the first one the Gemara is going to discuss. Parasa yoitza biritzua shebein karnel. So this next Gemara that we're about to learn is a classic Gemara. We have a lot of read bites on this Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, daf nun dalet amud beis. The context to the Gemara is the halacha, that just like a yid is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, a person's behemah is also not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. It's what's known as shvisas behemah. Shvisas behemah is an aseh, meaning there's an iser aseh that states that you have to make sure that your animals rest on Shabbos. What does it mean? Animals resting? Animals not allowed to do malacha. You're not allowed to do malacha. Your animals not allowed to do malacha either. Not ordinarily, shvisas behemah is an asay. There is, however, a hechitimtza where shvisas behemah could be a lois asay, and that is what's known as the lav of machamer. The lav of machamer is where your animal does a malacha, but you engage in the malacha. If you engage in the malacha together with the animal, so that would be not only an isner asay of shvisas behemah, it would even be the lois asay of lav of machamer. But if an animal is not allowed to do malacha, that means an animal, for example, can carry. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. The 39th of the Lamentas Malachas is Eitzah. So if you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, your animal is not allowed to carry on Shabbos either. Now, the Chachamim held is for that reason, you have to literally sit down, micromanage what your animals are allowed to have on it on Shabbos and not have it on Shabbos. So animals used to go out during the week and sometimes they had a bunch of tchotchkes on them. They had jewelry, tachshitim, things that were there for night, things that were practical. So before Shabbos, just like you have to empty your pockets and you have to make sure that you're not going to carry something you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, people did the same thing for their animals. One of the things that Chama said you were not allowed to have is you weren't allowed to have this leather strap between the horns of an animal. It was considered a dover shel noi. And as a result, this is something the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to do. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argued, he held that this was something that you are allowed to do. So parosoi shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was yoitze b'ritzua sheben karneh, and the Chachamim wore a mask. And the Gemara begins with a very, very, very subtle dik. L'meimra says the Gemara, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chada para havyala. It sounds like parosoi shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There was once someone whose name was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he had a cow. Parosoi, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He had one paro. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, unbeknownst, was one of the wealthiest Jews to ever live. How big of a gvir was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So the Gemara says every year he would give ma'isa behema. Ma'isa behema is one out of 10 animals. And his ma'isa behema were 13,000 calves, which means his eider had produced that year 130,000 agalim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't have one para. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a fleet, he had a portfolio. He was an extremely wealthy man. So the Gemara makes him very, very subtle. The parasa ishal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if he had one para, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a geraisa oishner. So the Gemara, Tana, you're right, loisha loihaisa. That diak's a good diak, and really the answer to that diak is the rest of the story. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's parah never went out with a ritzua shaben karneh. He would have never gone connect the chum. It really belonged to his neighbor. But because he wasn't moicha against his neighbor, the grass al shemay was considered as if he did it. His neighbor had a parah, and his neighbor's parah violated this halacha. So why does the Mishnah say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did it? Because he wasn't moicha, and the fact that he wasn't moicha, that's why it's the grass al shemay. There's so many interesting talking points on this Gemara, but not for today. The Mishnah said that another one of the coolest of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was Umikaridin es habehema b'yontif. So let's revisit the Mishnah for a second. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah held that you're allowed to comb an animal on yontif. Rabbi Yehuda said in Mikaridin es habehema b'yontif. No, you're really not allowed to comb an animal on yontif. Neisha is a chabur, because by combing it, you're going to cause it to have a chabur. Avo mekartzifim, but if you want to comb it in the mekartzif way, that you could do. The Chachamim said, "Ain mekardin afle mekartzifin." You can't be mekard. You can't be mekartz. So, what's the difference between mekardin and mekartzifin? Mekardin, Rashi says, is using a metal comb. A metal comb has very thin things that are protruding from it. As a result, it can cause the animal to bleed. Chaburo is something you're not allowed to make on Yontif, Shabbos, one of the Lamentas Malachas. So therefore, in Mekardin, it's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yontif. It's Pashit, this is not something that you're allowed to do. Mekartzifin is when you use a wooden comb, where the comb is much thicker. As a result, it doesn't cause it to bleed. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was Mekarid, the Sabeh of Yontif. He held, you're allowed to be Mekarid. He wasn't worried about the fact that it may be Oysach Habura. Rabbi Yehuda Shittu was in Mekardin. You can't be Makari because that's going to create a Chabura. But if you use the thicker one, the one that's made of wood, there's not going to be Chabura, that's going to be Mutter. The Chacham were a third Shita, they went completely in the reverse. L'chumra ain't Makardin, you can't use the thin one. Afle Makarzifin, you can't use the thick one also. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Ezu Kirud, Ezu Kirzif. What we just said. What's the difference between Kirud and Kirzif? Kirud Ketanim, that's the one with the smaller bristles. V'Oisa Chabura makes a Chabura. Kirzif, Yudailim is bigger. V'Ein Oisa Chabura, it doesn't make a Chabura. V'Gilim Machalik is Bedavar. And what emerges from the Mishnah is three opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Sav, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Dovashenim is Chavan Aser. Rabbi Yehuda Shita throughout Shas is if someone does
something, he doesn't have kavanah to do an aveira, but it's possible that he may end up doing an aveira. It's aser. Who argues with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon holds davar she'ein mischaven as mutar. The classic place where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued was in Hilcha Shabbos, but it's not exclusive to Hilcha Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued davar she'ein mischaven mutar aser throughout Shas. So from Yehuda sheet is davar she'ein mischaven is aser. Therefore, miuk kirud ketan v'isachaburo. Does to use the smaller brush. To use the one that's metal, the one that's going to be oisa chabura, maybe you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because you may cause a chabura. You don't have kavana to make a chabura, you just want to comb the animal. That's true. But davashen mischavin, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitase, Rabbi Yehuda's the time in the Mishnah that said this, he holds davashen mischavin as asa, therefore it's going to be asa. Kiritzuf, however, is gedolim. That's using a much bigger brush. Ve'in oisa chabura, it doesn't make a chabura. So if it doesn't make a chabura, so it's not a problem. It's true, Rabbi Yehuda holds davashen mischavin as asa, but nothing's going to happen over here. Additionally, v'loy gazrin on kiritzuf at the kirit. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say maybe you shouldn't be able to be makaritzif because if you'll be makaritzif, you'll be makarit. As Levi, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't worried. Rabbanan, sorry, the Rabbanan that said ain't makarit and afloy makaritzif, and they hold Rabbi Yehuda davashen mischaven asasa. They hold like Rabbi Yehuda davashen mischaven asasa because reading kirit about the kirit, they hold not only can you not be makarit, you also can't be makaritzif. You can't be makarit because davashen mischaven asasa maybe yoyse chaburu. You also can't be makaritzif because they made zera kirit of other kirit. Rabbi Lozman Azari, where's Rabbi Lozman Azari? You hold Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon David. Either way, it's mutter because you don't have any kavana to make a chabura. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. So says the Gemara, very gishmak. What's the machloikas, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, and the Chachamim regarding this point? You're allowed to be makarid. You're not allowed to be makarid. You're not having a mind to do any melacha. You might do a melacha. Rabbi Yehuda holds davish and mischaven as aser. The Chachamim hold davish and mischaven as aser. Therefore, you can't do it. Rabbi Lozman as I held like Rabbi Shimon davish and mischaven as mutter. Therefore, it's going to be mutter. What's the three shittas? Rabbi Yehuda said you only can't use the more intense one. The lighter one you can use. The Chachamim said either one you can use it. That's already a separate shaila. Do you make a gzeira that if we're going to allow you to be makaritzeh, if you may be makarit, or do we not make a gzeira? So, the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava said, Amar Rav Nachman, Nei Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel said, Nei Rav Shmuel, Pami Lo, some say, Amar Rav Nachman, Luchu, Dei Rav Nachman, said this on his own. Halacha Kirav Shimon, Halacha Zak Rav Shimon, that Tov Hashem is Mischaven is Mutter. Why? Sharei Rav Loz Ben Azari, Moi the Loi, because Rav Loz Ben Azari, in our Mishnah, came out like Rav Shimon. So, if Rav Loz Ben Azari, he said like Rav Shimon, the Halacha must be like Rav Shimon. Amalei Rav, Rav Nachman, Rav told Rav Nachman, Vodei Mamar, Halacha Rav Yehuda. I would say if I cared. I think you should say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Sharei Chachamim Moi the Loi, because Chachamim hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Loz Ben Azari is a Yochid. He held like Rav Shimon, therefore the Allah is like Rav Shimon. Say if I cared. The Chachamim held like Rabbi Yehuda. So that should be right. Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, say Tony, right. That's not what I meant to say. I meant to say I'm not Rav Shimon Tzvi. The Allah is like Rav Shimon because I think Rav Shimon's right. Pasha. I think Rav Shimon's right. Therefore, the Allah is like Rav Shimon. But by the way, show you Rav Lozman Azari. My Rav Lozman Azari, you held like him. That's also a factor why I think the Allah should be like Rav Shimon. And by the way, that is the Allah. We paskin like Rav Shimon, even though usually we don't paskin like Rav Shimon. Loss of lovely, we're going to paskin like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon goes down similar to Beis Shammai in that we don't paskin like Rav Shimon in this world. In most cases in Shas, we will paskin like Rav Shimon Lasa Lavei, but this is one of the examples where we do paskin like Rav Shimon. Dav Hashem Mischaven is Mutter. Another Mishnah, Rechayim Shal Pilpulin. So we mentioned the Rechayim Shal Pilpulin in the Mishnah, so we're going to digress from our digression. Right, what's the digression? We were discussing Hilchas Yontif, three kulos that Rabbi Gamliel had in Hilchas Yontif. So then we digressed. We said, let's mention three kulos that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah held. One of the kulos Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said was regarding using a rechayim, something that grinds peppercorns. Oh, we mentioned a peppercorn grinder. Let's talk a little bit about a peppercorn grinder. So says the Mishnah, harechayim shal pilpulin. This grinder that's used for peppercorns, tamei, is tamei. It's considered a keli, and it's mekabel toma. And the reason is mishum shloisha keli, because not only is it a keli, it's really made up of three compartments, three individual kelim. Mishum kli kibbel, it has a kli kibbel, it has a receptacle. That's where the pepper ends up after it's ground. Umishum kli matris, there's a kli matris, there's a metal component on top. Umishum kli kivra, and in the middle there's a sieve. There's three different components, three reasons that it should be considered a keli. Rashi and Tosis both discuss why do we need three reasons for it to be a keli? Just tell me it's a keli. It's makabel toma. Why do we need three sibois that it should be a keli? Zakt Gemara Tana Braisa, elaborate a little bit on this rechaim shal pilpulin. Tachtoina, the lower part of it was mishum klei kibbel. That's where the klei kibbel was. The receptacle's on the bottom, right? You're grinding peppercorn. So where's the pepper going to go? It's going to go on the bottom in this klei kibbel. And so it's mishum klei kibbel. The middle is where the sieve is. That's where it goes through. El Yoina, and on top, Mishum Kli Matris, there was some sort of Kli Matris, Ayin Rashi, who describes in more detail exactly how this all worked. Another Mishnah. Agolo Shel Katan, a wagon that a child uses.
a toy wagon, Tumei Medrash, it's Tumei Tumas Medrash. So what is Tumas Medrash? Tumas Medrash is a unique type of Tuma that only certain people have the ability to convey. And that is any person that's Tumei because of a Tuma that emerged from his or her body. Azav, Azava, Anida, Mitzayra. These people are Tameh because of something that emerged from their body. The halacha is, they're Metameh, not only things that they touch, but Tumas Medrash. Tumas Medrash means if they sit on something, if they lean on something, if they lie on something, as long as they're sitting and leaning and lying on something that the derech is to do that to, like if they sit on a chair as opposed to sitting on a table. People don't sit on tables. So if you sit on something with the derech is to sit on, so then the halacha is that thing becomes Tumei Tumas Medrash. Tumas Medrash is an avat tumah. It's a very unique type of tumah. So this wagon that the katan plays with is Tumei Tumas Medrash, which means that if the katan was Tumei, Rashi says, in Tinaik Zav, let's say you have a child that's a Zav, and the child leans on this wagon, it would be Metama the wagon Tumas Medrash. Really what it depends on is it the derech for the child to lean on the wagon or not? If the derech is to lean on it, so then this Tumas Medrash. Because the only time you convey Tumas Medrash is if you sit on something that the derech is to sit. You lean on something the derech is to lean on. If the derech would not be to lean on it, it wouldn't be. So really what the Mishnah is saying is that this wagon, the derech is to lean on it, a child. And therefore, if the child would be a Zav, the child would be Metame Tumas Medrash. When he tells B'Shabbos, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos, it's considered a keli. It's not mukta. The inner negreris, you're not allowed to schlep it. El agavi kelim, only on top of clothing. You can't schlep it on the ground, because if you're going to schlep it on the ground, it's going to make grooves in the ground. You're going to be chayfer. Chayfer is chayresh. It's one of the lamites milachs. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol kelim inner groin. All kelim, you're not allowed to schlep on the ground. Chutz min adol. This is the one thing you actually are allowed to schlep on the ground. You could schlep this wagon, because this was something kids used to play with. So it didn't have sharp grooves on the wheels. Right? This is not aggressive wheels. It was flat wheels. And as a result, you're going to schlep it on the ground. It's not really going to make a ditch in the ground. It may push the ground down a little bit, but you're not being oiker anything from the ground. There's no chayrish. And as a result, this is something that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. The Mishnah said that this wagon that the children used to play with is Tamei Tumas Medrash, the Hasamech Ilavein. Because children used to lean on it. Therefore, it's the derech to lean on it. If a zav would lean on it, for example, it would be Tamei Tumas Medrash. When they tell us, Bishabbos, you let it carry on Shabbos. It's clearly, it's a keli. It's a keli, it's not mukta. The inner nigreres, el agabi keli. You're not allowed to schlep it unless you're schlepping it on top of clothing. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're even allowed to schlep it on the ground. Something more, agabi keli, not agabi karkoloi. You're only allowed to schlep it on keli, you're not allowed to schlep it on the ground. My time, or why not? Kavit charetz, because we're afraid that you're going to make a hole in the ground. Making a hole in the ground is one of the lamites melach. Dr. Barmani, who must be the time of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, must be Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar, we just discussed this on Amid Aleph, Dovah Shein Mischav and Asa. It must be Rabbi Yehuda that holds that a Dovah Shein Mischav and Asa. Rabbi Shimon, because if it's Rabbi Shimon, Dovah Dovah Shein Mischav and Mutter, that you're allowed to do something on Shabbos, even though maybe you're going to do a malacha, as long as you don't have commandment to do the malacha. Rabbi Shimon holds Dovah Shein Mischav and Mutter. Time to the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, go to the meat, a piece of a person's allowed to schlep a bed, a chair, a bench on Shabbos, even on the ground, as long as you don't have a mind to make the ditch. So obviously, who's the town of the Mishnah? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Right again. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to take this wagon and schlep it on the ground. Why? Because we're afraid that by schlepping it on the ground, you're going to make a little hole in the ground. Making a hole in the ground is a malacha. What's the malacha? You're not allowed to be chayfer. You're not allowed to make a ditch. It's chayresh. It's not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. I didn't have kavanah to do it. Oh, going to Rabbi Yehuda. You're not allowed to do something, even if you don't have kavanah to do malacha. So what's the kasha? In the sefer, the next line of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. In the sefer, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein akol nigron b'shabbos chutz min agolah." Rabbi Yehuda said, "You're allowed to schlep a wagon, neishi kadeshes, because it's not, doesn't have these sharp edges on the wheel." But neishi kadeshes in avacharetz loyavdos. You see clearly, you don't have to worry about it making the ditch. So you have a machlokes in the Mishnah. Are you allowed to take this wagon, this child's wagon? By the way, Rashi says, you know what, Tosva says, you know what the purpose of this wagon was? Lekach nirali, dahainu klisha oisin lektanim, leislamid lahalach. This was something that was used for babies to teach them how to walk. So this is a little walker that babies needed to teach them how to walk, so they would use this little wagon. That's what this is for. So do you think it has these sharp edges that it's going to stop being chayrish? This is not a plow. This is something that's very, very soft. But either way, do you have a Mishnah, the Tanakh Kamba, that says you're not allowed to schlep it on the ground on Shabbos? Why not? Because you're making a ditch.
Who's the Tana? Must be Rabbi Yehuda that holds Dov Hashem Meschaven as us. Because if Dov Hashem Meschaven is mutter, who cares? You might make a ditch. You didn't have Kavanah to make a ditch. And Dov Hashem Meschaven is mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda himself, who's the one that holds Dov Hashem Meschaven as us, he argues and he says it's mutter. So what does the Gemara say? The most obvious answer, Trei Tanoia Alibah de Rabbi Yehuda. You have to say there were two Tanam, both Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. It's true, the Tana Kavanah, this mission is not Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a Tana that held like Rabbi Yehuda. He held like Rabbi Yehuda that Dov Hashem Meschaven is Aser, but maybe wasn't Rabbi Yehuda per se, or Al Kapanim, two different Tanam who were both going to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that was Dov Hashem Meschaven is Aser. They were arguing in a technical machlokes regarding this walker that teaches little children how to walk. And on that note, Hadron Allah Yontif.
So just one Ha'ara as it relates, again, not to today's daf, but to Sukkah and the perek and the sugyas that we're learning. And that is a fascinating shmuz in the Kadmoinim. And it begins with a little bit of a story. Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, he was the Gaivit of Budapest. So he contributed to a Yarchon. So once upon a time, it was very common for Gedolei Olam and for Talmidei Chachamim and Avreichim and Bacharim to contribute to different Torah journals, and they would make their rounds all over the Olam HaYeshivas, and people would write back, and there was a back, and there was a forth, and this was a very, very popular way once upon a time of disseminating Torah. So Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, the Gaivit of Budapest, wrote a shtickle Torah in a Yarchon that was called Tel Talpiyos, and he brought a tremendous chiddush in this piece, in the name of the Sefer Or Torah. So who was the Or Torah? The Mechaber, the Sefer Or Torah, was Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin. Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin wrote a Sefer Or Torah. It's been out of print for over 100 years. And in Parshas Emor, he said an unbelievable chiddush. Now, it's interesting. Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin wrote many, many Sfarim. Unfortunately, his Sfarim were kamat, all lost. I mean, you can find them, but they're not on most Sfarim shanks. Now, he was a Litvish Gadol, and he was a Goyen Olam. In fact, his Sfarim had askamas from the Beis Halevi, he had askamas from Meir Simcha, he had askamas from Zalman Sender Shapiro, he had askamas from the Ridvaz, Aritu Rameir Simcha's askamas on one of the Sfarim that Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin wrote. So this is a sefer that's called Oirach Yesharim, which is two volumes on a Gadita Gemara. So Rav Meir Simcha gives him a haskama, he writes a beautiful haskama. And then he says afterwards, he says, Umagam al chiburoi zeh. He says, the Mechaber asked me to give him a haskama. I went through the sefer, and it's definitely worthy of a haskama, and you should buy it, and you should learn it. It's a gewaldige sefer. And he says, besides, I saw that on this sefer, the Mechaber already got a haskama from Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Doiv, and says Rameyah Simcha, Umi lanu gadol mimeno. Says, who is greater than the Beis Halevi? He says, I don't know anyone that was bigger than the Beis Halevi. That's his lashon. Umi lanu gadol mimeno. So Rameyah Simcha says, if the Beis Halevi gave Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin a haskama, he says, Mi lanu gadol mimeno, vezgiven gresif in the Beis Halevi. So he says, if that's the case, it's poshut, I'm comfortable, and he gives him Hashem Yemali Mavi Levavoy Ator Kechevtsoy, and he gives him a beautiful bracha that he should be gebenched and he should be tzoycha to continue to be marbitzoy. Either way, this was Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin, one of the great gedolim that unfortunately their memories were very much lost from us after World War II, and Taka, this shtickle should be a schus that's a source of doiva voice bekefer. So Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin made a diak in the psukim and parshas Emor that talk about the yontif of sukkahs. So the pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer, daber al bnei Yisrael lemer, b'chamisha osa yoyim lachoydesh hashvii hazeh, chag hasukkos shiva yomim lasha." So the pasuk is talking about the yontif of Shavuos. When do you celebrate Shavuos? On the 15th day, lachoydesh hashvii hazeh of chodesh tishrei. But yoyim arisha mikra chodesh, the first day of sukkos is yontif. Kol melechas avadi lo yisas, you have to treat it like yontif. You're not allowed to do any malach. Shivas yomim takrivo isha l'Hashem. For 7 days, you bring karbonis. But yoyim hashmini, and then on the 8th day again, mikra chodesh shnei lachem, shmini atzeres. Vekraftem isha l'Hashem. So the Torah mentions the Yontif of Sukkot. But Yom Rishon, there's no Shvi Shal Sukkot like there is Shvi Shal Pesach. There's a Shmini, Shmini Atzeres. Eila Mayade Hashem Ashtikur Oisem Akroy Kodesh. Lahak Mvisha Lashem Oilo Mincha Zevach Unasachim Tvaryim Beyoimoy. Bovat Shapsa is Hashem. And then we sort of finished the Parsha of the Mayadim. Right? So the Torah and Parsha Zema went through all the Mayadim. The last one of the Mayadim that's mentioned is Sukkis. We just mentioned Sukkis. And then the Torah says, Eila Mayade Hashem Ashtikur Oisem Akroy Kodesh. Two psukim later, the Torah continues. And it says, Ach. You should know that on the 15th day of Chodesh Tishrei, there's a Yontif. The first day is Yontif, Sukkis, and then the 8th day is Shmini Atzeres. So what do you do on Yontif? Ulakachtem lochem b'yayim arishayim pre-eitz hodar, kapis tmorim, vanafetz avoyz, v'arvei nachal, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alokeichem shivas yom. I'm skipping a pasuk. But Sukkis teish v'shivas yom. Additionally, you have to sit in a sukkah for 7 days. Kol ezrach b'Yisrael, yeshvu b'sukkis. Why? V'man yedu d'areiseichem ki b'sukkis eishavti es b'nei Yisrael, b'yitzi yoysam eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem alokeichem. And then again, tzim tzveit So Menachem Tzvi Taksin in his Sefer Or Torah hat sich gestellt, he says he doesn't understand. It's almost like there's two different parshias here of Sukkis. The Torah introduces the Yontif of Sukkis, and the Torah mentions Bayom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, and then we mention Shmini Atzeres, and then we're done. Elam, you can make Kiddush. Elam Mayadem Hashem Ashtik Rois and Mikra Kodesh. Right, we're done. You finish. Then the Torah says, you should know. Ah, 1 second. Bachamish Hashem Lachodesh Hashvi. Again, 7 days. And then Basukas Teishu Shivas Yom. And Lama Yedu Dari Seichem with the Bach and everything else. It's freak, Rabbi Nachin Tzvi Taksin. Why didn't the Torah just put it together in one parasha? When the Torah introduced the Yontif of Sukkis, it should have mentioned Bayom Arishon Mikra Kodesh. Oh, and by the way, Lukachtam Lechem Bayom Arishon. Upayom Ashmini and mention Basukas Teishu Shivas Yom. Why is it two distinct parashias? So he said, V'aniru li be'ezes Hashem al pi apshato amiti. Ki be'emes. He says, because when the Yidden in the Midbar, he says, it's Pasha to me. He says, it's the Pshato Amiti. The Yidden didn't have to sin in a Sukkah. He said, because Kitam Yeshivas HaSukkah, why do we sit in a Sukkah? Zecher L'masha Yashvu B'Sukkahs B'Midbar. Or Zecher L'Anani Yaakovit. Kimafurish. L'man Yedu Dari Zecher Ki B'Sukkahs Eishafti. Uba Midbar Loi Hayu Tzrichin L'Zecher HaZeh. They didn't need a Zecher when they were in the Midbar. They had the real thing. They had Sukkis Mamish. They had Anani Yaakov. So why should they have had to have sit in the Sukkah when they were sitting in, when they were in the Midbar? He says, not just that. The Chain Mitzvah Shal Dalad Minim. I think as it relates to Dalad Minim, the same thing. Lo Yehoya Mechuyavim Gan came to Midbar. I don't think they needed Dalad Minim when they were in the Midbar. Ki Ksiv Mefurish. Because the Torah says, regarding Dalad Minim, when are you supposed to take the Dalad Minim? It says, Ach B'chamish HaSayim L'Chodesh HaShvi Ba'os B'chem Es Tfuas HaAretz. When you're going to gather the Tfuas HaAretz. He said, it sounds like the mitzvah of Dalad Minim is Ba'os Bechem is Tfuas Aretz. They didn't have Tfuas Aretz in the Midbar. There was no Ba'os Bechem in the Midbar. That was something that was going to first happen in Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksin, V'nirali al pi apshat ho'amiti, I think that when the Yidden went to Midbar, they never sat in a sukkah. And when the Yidden went to Midbar, they didn't take Dalad Minim. He says, if that's the case, it's beautiful why the Torah divided into two different parshias. The Torah said, number one, there's a Yontif of Sukkis. What Sukkis? Oh, right now, in real time, in the Midbar, the whole Yontif of Sukkis was Bayom Arishon Mikra Kodesh, and then there was Shmini Atzeres. But there were no Sukkis, and there was no Dalad Minim because they were in the Midbar. In the Midbar, they didn't have these mitzvahs. Says the Torah, Eilu Mayadei Hashem Ashtikroizim Mikra Kodesh. That was the Yontif that they gave that Moshe Rabbeinu said over in Torah's Kohen and for that door that was in the Midbar that door there. Ach, says the Torah, there's going to be a time where B'chamish also Yom L'Chodesh HaShviya B'os B'chem is Tfuas HaAretz when you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael T'choyg was Chag HaShem Shivas Yom. And then the Yontif's going to have a different time. Then Ulekachtam L'chem B'yom Arishim Pri Eitz Adar Kapis Tomorim Fanaf Eitz Obis Farvei Nachal. And then when you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, when you're not going to have Anani Yaakovin anymore, when you're going to be living in houses, you're not going to be living in a midbar in huts. So then you're going to have another mitzvah. You're going to have to make a zeicher for what you had for 40 years. Basukas teishvu shivas yomim, kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukas. This is what Rabbi Menachem Tzvi Taksin said, Dvarim nefloim ad lamoy. So Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, the Gaivit of Budapest, he contributed to this Yarchon, Kel Talpius, and he wrote this chiddush that he saw in the Sefer Or Torah from this Adam Gadol, and Haskamas from the Beis Halevi and Ramea Simcha, and from many of the G'dayli Olam of the 19th century. So the Olam read this Yarchon, and Kiminig Kairim Shel Yarchonim, they started tumbling. And this, and Rabbi Yisrael Veld started receiving hate mail. Mamish from Gedolei Olam, from Choshev people. And they said, how can you say such a thing? The Eden 40 years in the Midbar, they weren't Mekayim Mitzvah, as if they say, Moshe Rabbeinu never sat in a Sukkah. Moshe Rabbeinu never took down meaning, right? Moshe Rabbeinu never went to Eretz Yisrael. So you're going to tell me he never did it? He said, how could you say such a thing? It's loy nitin leheyomer. Chalila to say that. So Rabbi Yisrael Veltz wrote a follow-up. He had to. And in his follow-up, he said that the truth is that one of the two chedushim that Rabbi Menachem Tzvi Takzin said in the Or Torah, shteichon in the Rambam. The Rambam's in the Mor Nevuchim. It's in Chelek Gimel, it's in Perek Mem Gimel. The Rambam over there discusses why we celebrate the different Yom Tovim and some of the mitzvahs that we do on Yontif. So the Rambam at the very end says, Vashen nirali barbas minim shabalulav, as it relates to the four minim of the lulav. Shehi simcha v'tsasoin al yitziyosan min amidbar. So why do we take dalad minim? So we've been talking so much throughout the first parak. We're going to get to parak lulav agazel. That's right around the corner. We just said hajron alach sukkah. We'll get to the alachas of dalad minim. But in terms of why do we take dalad minim? That's not a machlikas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. That's not Zeichel Anani Yaakovin. That has nothing to do with Sukkah's Mamash. So what's the reason for that? So says the Rambam. The reason is, it was a way to celebrate B'Simcha and Sosoin, the fact that the Yidden left the Midbar. Because the Midbar was a place Shehoyo Loi Mokam Zera V'Te'ena V'Gefen V'Rimoin U'Mayim Ein Lishtois. That was a tough place, the Midbar. And L'Mokam, now that they're in Eretz Yisrael, they were in a place of Atzei, Pri, V'Nahorois. They're in the beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael. L'Fikach Nilkach L'Zikoroin Lokach Hanoh Shebepeiroiseo. So that's why on Sukkot we take down Minim, which are the most beautiful of all the Paris. And the Rambam says why these four Paris qualifies as the Nosh of the Paris. Upala Rea Chatoif, Alemanom, Vikama Anom, Sheba Asfaisel, Koleme Arvenochal, Farbas, Haminim, Alolu, Haim, Asher Koilim, Shloishadvorim, Reba Mitsuyusam, etc., etc. But the bottom line is, the Rambam says that the reason we take Dalad Minim is to celebrate the fact that the Eibishna took us from the Midbar and he brought us into Eretz Yisrael. I saw in the Megadim Chadashim, Rabbi David Yoel Weiss, he says that the truth is, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos is discussing, in his Akdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Messiah, right? The Messiah. And he says that one of his rayas, so to speak, to the Amitas HaMessiah is, quote, Avu ro'inu b'li sofik. This is the Rambam talking. Mi Yeshua v'ad achshav, from Yeshua b'nun up until today, sheho esrei gu anitel imalula b'chol shon. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah an esrei. It says, v'lekach techem v'yem erishen, priyei tzadah. How do you know it's an esrei? So the Rambam, when he talks about the Messiah, he says, ro'inu b'li sofik. Mi Yeshua v'ad achshav, sheho esrei, it's the esrei gu anitel imalulav, B'chol Shana, even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that's. So David Yoawai said, why did the Rambam say me Yeshua Ve'elach? He should have said me Moshe Ve'elach. See, it's the Rambam L'shitasa in the Meira. That the Rambam says, why do we take the Aluminum to celebrate the fact that the Eibishter took us into Eretz Yisrael? So that's why the Rambam L'shitasa said me Yeshua Ve'elach. But then Toich Dvarav, he throws in one Ara. He says that it bothers him a little bit, the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says, why do we take the Aluminum? Just read the Rambam's Lashon again. V'ashanir li barbas minim shabalulav. This is godless. Shni simcha v'sasoin al yitziyosa min abidbar. Right, we're so happy that we're not in the Midbar. What was the Midbar? Shayoloi mokim zera v'te'ena v'gefen v'rimo. So David Yoel Weiss said, who's the Rambam quoting? He's quoting the Mesoinonim. Right? That's who he's quoting. He's quoting the Erev Rav throughout the Torah. Right? They were complaining about the Midbar. There's no water. There's no this. There's no that. Zacharnu as Hadaga. We remember the cucumbers. Right? We remember the Avatichim. So that's the Yontif of Sukkot. You take the Dalad Minim, Mamish, and you, what's the flag that you're holding? The Tain of the Mesoinonim. That's what it is. Shkoyach Ebishna. That we're no longer in the Midbar. The Midbar was a place where we had eaten man. Bilti ala man einenu. So he says, I don't know. It sounds a little like kindness on the side in him. That's his aura. But the bottom line is, said with W. O. Weiss, the chur, that dikto kalosha in the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos is mamish the Rambam l'shitasai. The Rambam that says that the whole union of Dalad Minim was, thank you Hashem for taking us into Eretz Yisrael. So we're not in the Midbar anymore. So that means there was no Dalad Minim in the Midbar. There's no Dalad Minim in the Midbar. That's why the Rambam l'shitasai said, Yeshua Ve'eloch. But al kaponim, so Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, the Gaivit of Budapest, said he wrote in his follow-up that it's a Rambam. This chiddush al kaponim, that when the Yidden, when the Midbar, they didn't have Dalad Minim,
that Rabbi Nachum Tzvi Takzin said in his Sefer Or Taira is really mefurish. It's mefurish in the Rambam. But the Olam didn't laws up. And they continued going after Rabbi Yisrael Veltz. You can't say such a thing. It's a diak in a Rambam. I hear Abba Lamaisa. It's not enough of a basis to be able to say such a chiddush. So Rabbi Yisrael Veltz was under such fierce attack that he decided that he needs a haskama from an Adam Gadol to find out if what he did was okay. Does he have to attack or retract? So he decided he's going to send a letter to Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, the great Tzitz Eliezer. So he sent the letter to the Tzitz Eliezer. This is all, everything I just mentioned is really from a tshuva Tzitz Eliezer. So the Tzitz Eliezer, besides the whole background with Rabbi Nachum Tzvi Taksa. But so he wrote back to him, the Tzitz Eliezer did. It's in Chelik Zion, it's in Simen Lamed Aleph, if you want to see it. And he tells him that I agree with you 100%, and you don't have to back off, because I think what you've proved from the Rambam in the Meira is 100% correct with the Yisofim for Abdavad Yoyawais that we have from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis. But he says, V'lo yoyt, I'm going to back up the other Chiddush that Rabbi Nachum Tzvi Taksin said as well. The Chiddush, now when the Yidu in the Midbar, they didn't sit in Sukkis, which again, the Svara of the Or Torah was very, very intuitive. He said the whole idea is Zeichel Sukkis. It was Zeichel Anani Yaakovit. So if it's all based on a Zeichel, if they were in the Midbar, they had the real thing, so why would they have needed the Zeichel? Oh, but Sefar Tachidish. But Afobim Pleitzis is Ogen HaZachidish. So said the Tzitz Eliezer, said Rav Waldenberg, I'll show you it's a Mefurisha Mabit in the Beis Elokim. So this is in Shar HaYesoidis, it's in Perek Lamed Zayin. And the Mabit over there discusses the Yidden in the Midbar in general. Which mitzvahs did they keep and which mitzvahs did they not keep? And he has a Havamina, does the Mabit, that it could be when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they kept all the mitzvahs up until Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar and Devarim, those mitzvahs were told to the Yidden in Arvos Moav. Arvos Moav, the Yidden were in literally the last Kufa before they entered Eretz Yisrael. So if the whole Sefer Devarim and really Bamidbar, those mitzvahs are related to Arvos Moav, so there's Makom to say, says the Mabit, that it could be when the Yidden were in the Midbar up until Arvos Moav, they really didn't keep those mitzvahs. That's what he says. But says the Mabit, it's just too painful, it's too hard for me to think that. He says, because think of the mitzvahs that you have in Sefer Devarim that you don't have in the other parashiyas. Kriyishma, he mentions Tefillin, although Tefillin is mentioned in Parashas Bo, but he says Kriyishma and Tefillin, and some of the most fundamental mitzvahs, says the Mabit, the Yidden didn't have until Sefer Dvarim. So he says, Hal yal al daitcha, the Moshe Rabbeinu never said Kriyishma, kemezogen azazach. He says, I find that hard to believe. So then he says, maybe the Yidden Taka didn't have it. But Avada Moshe Rabbeinu did say Kriyishma, because Moshe Rabbeinu was like Gar from Avram Avinu, he says. Avram Avinu never got the Torah. But at the same time, Ekev Ashasham Avram Bekoili, we know that Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kulav Afilu Erev Tavshilin. So Yesh Loimar, the Tzivoy wasn't until Arvos Moav. But at the same time, there were Yechidim that kept the mitzvahs. Just like Avram Avinu kept the mitzvahs, so why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu have kept the mitzvahs? So this is Mamish Dvarim Neflon. It's in the Shari Yesoidis, it's in Periklam Mitzayin. But Toich Dvarov, he says that Ha'ikr Nirlani is Daiti, that the Yidden kept all the mitzvahs. Because even though Sefer Dvarim was recounted in Arvos Moav, and even though there's different psukim that sound like they weren't really introduced until later, that just means they weren't chazed over until later. But really, all the mitzvahs, Kopira Teo Vediktukeh, Lama, Ma'in Yishmita Eitzel Ar Sinai, just like Shmita, every single detail was mentioned by Sinai, so too the it's true for all mitzvahs as well. So it says, I think the ikar is that all the mitzvahs were said. Stating that, there are a few tiny exceptions. And one of the exceptions, he says, is Sukkis. He says, even though there's a mitzvah of Sukkis, and there's a mitzvah that says, Basukkis teish from Shiva Siyamim, but he says, nearly there was no sukkah in the Midbar. And he says, what's the reason? He says, because we sin in a sukkah, Zecher l'anani yakovet. So the Or Torah said, Pashit, what do you need a Zecher for? You don't have to remember something if it's right in front of you. He says a little bit of a different nusach. Says the Mabit, I think the reason is because the Anani HaKovid is the ultimate schach. If we sit in a sukkah, Zecher Anani HaKovid, that means what's the real schach? It's the Anani HaKovid. Anani HaKovid is Hilchoy schach. If the Yidden would sit in a sukkah, in the midbar, underneath the ananiya cover, it would be like a sukkah tachas a sukkah, and you run into sugis that we learned in the first parak of Masechta Sukkah, and it wouldn't be okay. But I'll go upon him, that's the punchline of the Mabit. He says, even though I think all the mitzvahs that we got in Arvis Mayav, really the Yidden had already in our Sinai, and Avada, they kept all the mitzvahs, not like Avram Avinu, they were mitzvah vayisa, they got all the mitzvahs, but sukkahs was their friend, because at the end of the day, if they would have been sitting in a sukkah, it would be a sukkah tachas a sukkah, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, that it's ananiya cover, and if it's a sukkah tachas a sukkah, say, how could you be out to the mitzvah sukkah? And he says, maybe, says the Mabit, that's why it says in the Torah, L'man yedu doiroi seichem, kim besukah seishafti. There's a dogush on the future doiris. Ahi yedil le doiris, hudachsev. Why doiris ki loy nitztavu b'mitzvah zum miyad? Kim le doiris haboim acharei doira midbar. So the Tzitz Eliezer told Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, he said, this chiddish from the Ur Torah, from Menachem Tzvi Taksin, Sefsois of Doiva Vais Bekever, this gewaldige chiddish, the diktak of the psukim, you can see where Meir Simcha liked the sefer, it sounds like a Meshach Chachma, that piece, but he said that this diktak in this sefer, he says, tak, it's a beautiful diktak, and it's a gewaldige chiddish, and the Oyum's giving you a hard time, of a Ken Sirik Shreibim, you could put in a third op-ed, and you could say that the truth is, the chiddish that the Yidden didn't sit, they didn't have dalim minim, that's already mavu in the Rambam and the Meir Devuchim, and the chiddish that the Yidden didn't sit in a sukkah, that chiddish is already mavur in the Mabit. Either way, this is this chiddish of today's reign, and that is, it could be, it's very, very likely that for the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, they did not have the mitzvah of Basukas Teish Shivas Yomim, and they did not have the mitzvah of Dalim Minim. Mitzvah Shem, we're going to do a part 2.